Making our way through 1 Corinthians. And this is an amazing passage here. More so on what I share with you tonight than what I shared with you last time that we looked at this chapter. And so here we have kind of an amazing chapter that is given. If you were not here the last time that I preached concerning in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I told you that it was not the chapter that I was looking forward to, because Paul makes kind of an appealing case of how the church, the man of God, should be supported. And of course, what pastor wants to preach that? But I went ahead and gave it to you anyway, what the Word of God says here. And so in the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it's very much something that we need to pay attention to on how we need to take care of the men of God in our lives, our pastors, people in the ministry. And so I just say this to all of you. You can kind of forget me, okay? I am called to give you the Word of God. And so I give you the Word of God, and you take the Word of God and do with it as He has given. And so Paul has just laid down in the first 14 verses the biblical foundation for supporting the man of God. Go ahead and look at it briefly. I'm just going to skim through it. First of all, in chapter 9, he starts off with the fact that he was an apostle. An apostle was an individual that was called of God. You didn't just enter the apostleship and say, hey, I'll sign up for that one. To be an apostle, that was God appointed. That was God ordained, God empowered to be that individual. And so Paul starts off by says, first of all, and I'm an apostle, I'm called of God. This is not something that I signed up for. This is not something that I'm trying to get. So don't look at me and say, you know, think that you don't need to support, because I am an apostle called by God, and you ought to. He says, as an apostle, it was the custom that God had set forth that the apostles were taken care of. Not only, interesting, we looked at this, not only the apostle, but even if he had a wife, which Paul didn't, but if he had a wife, he'd take care of the wife as well. And the ministry and the things that you do, she's supported as well. So he lays down that first point. As we move on into the next several verses, he goes into a couple different types of work that lays down some similar things. You look in verse 7, and we see it, that it is life's custom to support those that work. And he gives three examples. We look at the soldiers. We don't expect soldiers to go to battle without support. We don't expect farmers to do their work without their fruit. And we don't expect, in this case, sheep herders are those that take care of animals. We don't expect them to do their work without first receiving of the supply that they have provided. And so he says it was because he was an apostle and called of God, because it was life's custom, he should be supported. The next set of verses speak of the Old Testament law that was laid down. He says it's a lawful thing. It was according to the law that even the nation of Israel take care of their pastors, take care of their leaders, and it was established in the law. He continues on, it was already established by earlier church leaders, as he refers to some of the ones that had gone before with Apollos and Peter and others, that he said, you've already started, you know, this, because they recognize this as well. You're supposed to support the man of God. And so it had already been established by earlier church leaders. He goes next into a universal pattern of life with the priesthood, and is very similar to the law. But even in the priesthood, we see that God took care of his leaders through the people. And you remember how as they gave their sacrifices and their offerings, it was the payment to the priests that they receive of that, and they would eat of that fruit and live of that. And so it was a universal pattern of the priesthood. And then lastly, he establishes his last one, and maybe the most powerful one, even though it's very simply put in the scriptures, but it was ordained by Jesus that you take care of your church leaders. And so I give all those things to you because they are in the Word of God, okay? And Paul shares that, and I share that with you, and of course we need to follow that. I believe this with all my heart, And you can say that I'm trying to pull something for myself or not. But I will just say, any church that decides not to take care of their pastor, God is not going to bless them. Any church that decides to take care of the pastor, God is going to bless, because I believe that with all my heart. And that same thing that goes with missions. Any church that is involved with missions and taking care of their missionaries, God is going to bless them. Any church that takes care of the evangelist that comes through, God is going to bless them, because God always blesses the church that takes care of the leaders that God gives. But the opposite is true. Any church that does not take care of their missionaries, take care of their evangelists, take care of their pastors, is not going to be blessed of God. Now, the interesting thing is Paul makes all of this of saying, this is why you ought to support the man of God, okay? And he believes it with all of his heart. But then in verse 15, he kind of changes everything. Tonight we're going to see the example of self-limitation. And I submit to you that this whole passage really has nothing to do with supporting the man of God. I mean, it gives an example there. That's not the point, okay? Let's get into the point of what Paul is trying to give. So here's the real point of the passage. We are learning about loving our brothers and sisters so much. That's what we're studying this year. Even other people, especially those of our household right here in church, but even other people outside the church, loving other people. And we need to care so much more about their experience with Jesus that we are absolutely willing to limit ourselves so that they can receive the clear witness of Jesus Christ. Here's a question that I want to ask you. Do you care more about people and their relationship with Christ, or do you care about yourself? Now, there's no question in my mind, if I ask that question, that you would say, oh, I definitely care about others. My question is, do you really? Because I will suggest to you that this passage is going to step on our toes with that very thing. Stepped all over me. It was a brutal week. I told you this morning, I mean, that message was all over me. And then I thought, well, Sunday night, you know. And I got to that one and it just trampled me even worse. So let's look, what is he saying here? It's not an easy passage. It's a tough passage, actually, to try to weed out and figure out. And I praise the Lord, because I was struggling with it, but then God just gave me some things to read and doing some reading, and I feel like it just came to, the blossoms came out. And so I want to share that with you. I don't know if you'll get the same effect as I did, but I think it's a special passage that I want to share with you tonight. So we've already looked at the first 14 verses and how Paul has just made this kind of amazing appeal that you got to take care of the leadership spiritually. But now he's going to talk about something else. Now I want to read the passage. We're just going to look. It goes to the end of the chapter, but we are going to break it up a little bit. And so tonight, I just want to look, starting in verse 15, I want to do 15, 16, 17, 18. We're going to stop. He doesn't stop there, but this is where we're going to stop, okay? So let me read what he says here, and you're going to scratch your head and say, well, tell me what that means. That's what I plan on doing, okay? Look at verse 15. But, so he's given all these things, but I have used none of these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. God, I need your help to make this down to our level. Because it's a tough passage, but Lord, would you help me? Would you give me the words? Would you give me the way, the illustrations, the anything that I need, Lord, to help this to come down to us so that when we leave here tonight, it is so practical of how we need to live the life that you have given to us in sacrificial love. God, would you help me? God, would you help these people, Lord, to pay attention that they can get it so they would understand this passage. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, let's go back up to verse 12. I want you to look up to we started verse 15, but I just want you to see something in verse 12. Now, Paul is very concerned that the gospel is not hindered. Notice he says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, why do I bring you back to that? Because Paul is giving some, he's right in the middle of some of these examples of why you need to, really, he's making a case of why you should support me, but he's going to deny it. But he says, what we're looking at is we don't want the gospel hindered. That word that is there, hindered, is kind of a, it's a word there that is, if we could, one person put it this way, it's kind of like a roadblock. The road is all torn up. Have you ever tried to get somewhere and you got there and there were signs, do not enter, road closed, there's no way around it. We, as a family, were heading somewhere this week, and we were trying to get there, and that where we were trying to get was right on the other side of the signs. It was just right there. It's, you know, and we were there, and it was like, how do you get over there? And I was looking, you know, at my phone, trying to get the map, and it was like, wow, we've got to go a ways around just to get right. It's right there, and yet there was a roadblock in there. There was a bridge out. You can't go through there. Okay. This word hinder is kind of like that illustration there. It's something that blocks the path. It's something that prevents. And of course, this case, something that prevents the gospel from going from one book or tongue to another person, and it prevents it from getting there, okay? And Paul is very concerned that nothing get in the way of this. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background to this. Paul was writing in a situation here. You've got to understand the background because, I mean, when you read through this and when you start to read Paul's, again, I don't know if you understood what I just read to you in verses 15 to 18, but let me put it very simple to you. Paul says, okay, I just gave you five or six reasons why you ought to, including the words of Jesus Christ, you ought to support the man of God in the ministry. You better make sure and do it. And then in verses 15 to 18, he says, but I'm not going to accept any of it. I'm not going to take it because you're left scratching your head and saying, why wouldn't he? And I'll tell you, as you read through it, as a pastor, you read through this, and it's like, oh man, if Paul did this, then maybe that's what I should do. I mean, why should, you know, maybe if this is the best thing, then why accept anything? You know, maybe I should show up on Sunday and tell people at Faith Bible Church, I guess I ought to be like Paul. Don't give me anything anymore. And you think through it and you say, what is the situation? But we've got to look back. Now, Paul is writing to a group of people. He's in territory where things are new. He was not dealing with mature Christians in the church. Side note, are there other places in the scripture that teach that mature Christians ought to give? Yeah, absolutely. Why would Paul say then, but don't give to me? It seems like there's a counter there. You see, the culture in which Paul was writing this was a culture in which there were people. There were not a lot of strong Christians there, and there was a lot of people on the outside that were trying to do everything they could to find an avenue in which they could say, Paul, but look at what you're doing. As I was doing my reading, one commentator gave an example of this. Can you imagine going to a country where they knew nothing of the gospel, and you're there sharing, you know, you're there and you show up and they don't know anything of the gospel, and you open up your Bible and you start teaching them, preaching to them, and one by one they get saved. And as soon as you get done with that, you say, now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and let's look at the first 14 verses. You just got saved and now you need to pay me. You need to give me money. You need to support me. Now, what would those people, that, you know, that tribe in Africa, what do you think that those people are going to think? I mean, think about yourself if you were there. This guy came over there and showed me the greatest news, and he turns around at the next step and says, now you need to pay me. Are you going to struggle a little bit? Like, is this why you wanted me to do this? This is the situation that Paul is in. In fact, if we do our study, you understand that later and in other times with more mature Christians, churches, he did accept the pay. He did take it. He was the only apostle that did not, as far as we understand. Why? Because Paul was in this situation and he cared about one thing. He said, listen, if my expected, because it's God ordained, but even though there's so many things that point that they ought to do it, I don't think it would be right for me to accept it because I don't want anything to get in the road of you not receiving the gospel. Now, before we really get into it, brothers and sisters, what I present to you is what we call love. Paul cared more about them than he did what was right for him. And really, it's very amazing. So, understand the culture in which he's written. Now, we're going to come back to the, well, should we do that? Should I do that? What's expected? We'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but let's follow this. So here is what Paul's limitation was about or not about. Look at verse 15, okay? I'm not going to exposit this so much. We're not going to look at all the words, but I'm going to try to give you the gist of every one of these verses, 15, 16, 17, and then we get to 18, okay, which is the focal point of these verses. All right, look at verse 15. But I have used none of these things. So he gives like six things right here, five or six things, and he says, yet I'm not taking any of those things. Nope, forget those things. He says, I won't take them. Neither have I written these things that it should be done so unto me. He's saying, listen, I did not write the first 14 verses so that you would be convicted and go home and say, you know what, we need to support our pastor better, or we need to support Paul better. He's saying here, he said, I did not write that so that you could do that. He had another purpose of why he wrote it. And that's really the heart of what we want to look at. So he said, I didn't give this speech. I didn't write this letter so that people would start taking better care of me. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. Paul doesn't want that. He says, no, please don't. Because I care more that you receive the gospel. Look at verse 16. And this is going to be very simple. I'm going to go right through this. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Let's look at that. I mean, he says, did you catch it? He says, for though I preach the gospel. Question, is the gospel number one important? What's the answer? Absolutely. What do you think about preaching of the gospel? Is that important? And what does Paul say about it? That's not my glory. Now, when you look at the word glory here, don't get it confused with like vainglory and like pride. That's not what he's talking about. This word glory can also be translated as joy and excitement. He said, you know, somebody's talking about their pride and joy. You know, we're not necessarily talking about something they're sinfully proud about, like, boy, look at what I accomplished. No, this is just my, look at what I glory in this. I love this. Paul says preaching the gospel is not his joy. It wasn't his pride. It wasn't his glory. Now, that's kind of interesting because I thought Paul loved to preach the gospel. And he did love to preach the gospel. But he said, this is not the point. Preaching the gospel itself isn't the point. Preaching the gospel is not the point. Notice the words that he uses in verse 16. He says, I have nothing to glory of in preaching the gospel. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. What does that mean? For necessity is laid upon me? How and why did Paul preach the gospel? Did Paul go signing up for it? He said, listen, those guys have six reasons why they should be supported. I'm in. I want one of those things. You know, I can be a pastor. I can play all week long. And I can show up on Sunday. And I can open up the Word of God and talk for a little while. And I can make money. My friend, that's not what Paul was saying. He said, there's only one reason why I did this, is because of necessity. When you study what that word is, the word necessity is duty imposed on him by another. Question, who imposed this duty on Paul? Yeah, the Lord did. You know what Paul's saying here? He said, I didn't ask for this. I did not ask for this. In fact, he tried to kick against it. I don't want this. I didn't sign up for this. God has me doing it. You know what he's saying there? He says, there's no glory in that. You can pat me on the back all you want to. You can tell me, thank you, Paul, for being such a blessing and doing all the work that you do. He said, don't give me anything because it's God. I didn't sign up for this. I did it because it's what he called me to do. He was an apostle. It was of necessity. It was a duty imposed on him by the one of God. He says, woe unto me. Look at verse 16 there. He says, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I'm in trouble if I don't. I'm a dead man. If I don't obey God, God will just take me away. He knew that he had to. Now, do you see what Paul is saying? He said, listen, you don't need to glory in me. That's not my glory. My glory is not anything that I've done of myself. I'm not, and it sounds bad. He said, my motivation isn't just the gospel. My motivation isn't preaching the gospel. He said, because I didn't sign up for this. I'm doing it because I have to. Now, lest you think that that's a negative thing of Paul. I mean, we know that Paul longed. I mean, for to me is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Did Paul love the Lord? Did Paul love the gospel? Did Paul love to give it? He certainly did. But he's making a statement here. He said, listen, don't you dare get confused about me and my ministry. I'm doing this because God is having me do this. God is the one that is having me do this. He said, it's a necessary thing for me. He said, if I do it, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble if I don't obey. Look at verse 17. He said, for if I do this thing willingly. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the idea of getting money from a church. He could love to be in the ministry and get paid for it and glory in that, but he said, no, that's not the deal. God put me in this. He said, and it's not all about because I just gave my will over and I just decided to make a wonderful sacrifice and say, God, okay, I'll do it. Notice what he says. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, in other words, if I chose to do this, he said, I have a reward. You know what? I can get paid. But he says, but if against my will, in other words, it's not what I would have chosen, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, for the most of us, that's what is he saying there? But a dispensation is a stewardship. It's a responsibility. Remember when we talked about stewards? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we've got God's possessions here, and it's his possessions. And in the illustration of the book of Matthew, he goes on a long journey and he leaves. And what does he do? He appoints a steward, or what we would call a manager, to take care of his things. You remember that? And with that is responsibility. The master's leaving, and I'm responsible to take care of these things. And of course, in biblical stewardship, it was a wise management of those things. And it was a management to make more of them and to do his very best with those things. And there would be accountability that would come later because the master's going to return and see how I did with this. Paul here says, listen, don't even think that this is something that I chose to do. He said this was You know, there was no will in here. This was no decision by me that I decided to get into this. No, he said this was something that was put on me. I was placed here. He picked me and he left, and I'm the manager of this. I'm the manager of this. I've got to take care of this. Paul is building up a case that he said, listen, there is something other that is my reward that I'm looking to. And that's going to be the amazing thing. Paul thought something more of just the gospel itself. Paul saw something more of preaching the gospel. He saw more of sacrificing and choosing to do it or raising his hand and volunteering for all of this. He saw something more. There was another motivation of why he chose to say no to all of the money that came in. Something amazing. And it was about offering a ministry that was free of charge. Notice verse 18. So he said all of these things, what it isn't. I am not limiting. I'm not saying no to all this funding from you as a church. I'm not saying no to that, to glory in it because I want it. I'm saying no because there's something that I don't have to do. He had to do all of this. Paul was chosen of God. You have to do this. I want you to do this. You need to do this. I'm making you a manager of this. You've got to do this. Paul says, no, there's something that I don't have to do that I want to do. Want to do this. And what was it that he wanted to do? And we see in verse 18, what is my reward then? So he said, it's not this. My reward is not this, 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 and this. It's not what I'm doing it for. I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm not trying to be a hero. God is having me do all this. But he said, but if you want the inside scoop on why I'm going like this, saying no to your money, let me tell you. That's where he's at in verse 18. Let me tell you. He said, what is my reward then? So here he goes. He says, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ out charge. He says, I can't wait to do this. I don't want anybody thinking anything of this gospel. This gospel is absolutely free to you. It's free. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for any pay. I'm not looking for anything because I don't want to hinder the gospel. I don't want to get in the way. And I am willing to say no to something that I ought to do. And he's saying here, he said, people, listen, don't make a hero out of me. Don't think that I chose this. Don't think that I'm doing this because he said, listen, none of it. I'm doing it. God didn't tell me to do it. God didn't even ask me to do it. God never ever says anywhere else in his word that you shouldn't do that. In fact, he tells us over and over that you should. But no, I am doing something of my own will because I care so much about you. Now you say, okay, that's amazing, but let's look at where this gets very practical now, because you say, okay, so what is the big deal? Now please listen to this. Now, we could look at this, and when I read this, I'll just be honest with you, because I struggle with that, because I say, you know, Paul is presenting always. Was Paul a good man of God? Yeah. Like, wow. Shouldn't we want anything? If Paul did it, then shouldn't I do it? Seems like it. And I'm you picture me sitting in my office, okay? I'm reading this, and I'm starting to get troubled, because I'm thinking, wow, a good guy is going to say no because he cares so much about the gospel. And, you know, should that be my opinion as well? It should be my opinion to care about the gospel. Okay? And so I'm sitting here thinking about this. I'm like, what is the point of this? And when you start to think of this, I'll tell you, the thought process goes a long way. And I'll tell you, you know where it leads? It leads to what the monks did. Self-denial is godly. Now, Is that always godly? No. Then what's the difference here? Why is it okay for Paul to say this? And then for me, Sean Madrid, a Faith Bible Church, to say, well, it doesn't necessarily apply to me. Can I tell you that this passage really, really, really has nothing to do with supporting a pastor? It has everything to do with love. It has everything to do with self-limiting to show. Listen to this, though. When God puts you in the right situation, Paul was put into a situation that it was right. In another situation, it wasn't right. And he should have accepted the funds from other people because God said to do it, because it was illustrated in the Word of God. It was part of the law. There is absolute reason for the five or six things that we went through for it to happen. But in certain situations, God gives us the opportunity to limit ourselves so that we can show other people, I love you. That's the heart of this. What we take from this is not, should I reject money? Paul is not saying that. He's not saying that because later he's going to say, I gladly received of your gifts. Thank you, church, for giving to me. Again, he is gladly going to do it. But here he's put into a situation where he says, you know what? I don't have to. But wouldn't this be fun not to? Because there's no doubt that you're going to know after I say no to this that I love you. And the gospel is going to make so much more to you. Let's get it even further down to our level. I'm going to tell you an illustration that's personal. Not, please listen to this, not because I want you to think anything good of me, but it's all I can think of. If I could have thought of something else that somebody else did, I would have. I don't even remember the situation, Melissa. It wasn't that, I don't know if it was this year, I don't know if it was last year. Well, it couldn't have been this year, because we haven't gone through a hunting season yet. You know that I enjoy getting into the woods and hunting. I enjoy doing it. I don't get a lot of time to do it because I have higher priorities here. If I didn't have the priorities, I probably would be in the woods a lot more. But I don't have the ability to do it. Well, I do, but I choose not to because there's something more to do. But when I get an opportunity, I like to get out for a while. I like to go up north and you know, if I can take a couple days, that's about all I get. But I'll try to take that. And there was an opportunity, was it last year or the year before? It doesn't seem like it was last year because I don't think I hardly got out last year at all. But must have been the year before. I don't, maybe it was something different than hunting. I don't know. Now all of a sudden my illustration is going down the tubes. But no, the illustration plays out because I think that it was. There was something, whether it was hunting or not, there was something that I had the opportunity, had the time. It didn't seem like there was anything at home, a church that was pressing that I could, and I was going to go ahead and take advantage of that and go. And my wife is very gracious. She never wants me to go out and go hunting, not because she doesn't want me to hunt, but because she always loves to be with me. She always wants to be around. She just loves me. What can I say? That's the truth. There's no glory to me. It's just the way it is. She always wants to be with me. So it's never her favorite thing, but she was absolutely fine. You know, she knows that I enjoy it. She knows that I had time. I wasn't saying no to the family and no to church. And I mean, that's pretty rough to say no to the family and no to the church because I'm going to do what I want to do. But this wasn't one of those cases at all. It was an absolute opportunity. And in fact, it was very planned that I was going to go. And there was something. I don't know if it was that day or the day before, I don't remember what it was. But as I was praying with the Lord and I was thinking and talking, there was something that came over me that said, you know what? I have every right, I have every opportunity, there's nothing in the way. Absolutely free for me to go. But I would love to show my wife that I care about her. And so I'm going to go home, and she's expecting me to go home and grab my gear and get ready to go. And I don't remember if I was going up to the camp or what. I don't remember how long it was. I don't think it was some little couple hours in the woods right around here. I think it was a couple days that I was going to go away. And I remember saying, Melissa, I just want you to know I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to stay home with you and we're going to spend some time together. Now, did that mean anything to her? What do you think? It did. It meant more to her than it would have meant to me, because that's just the way she is. And do you know that I never regretted it one ounce? In fact, it was fun. Why? Because I was free. It wasn't anything that I had to do. I would have been absolutely right with God to go. But I was able to capitalize and, if I could say, score a point. Not that I was trying to gain points. But I was able to demonstrate that I loved my wife. Again, I wasn't doing anything for my own, chalk it up for me, good husband, whatever. God convicted me. I said, I get the opportunity to show my wife I love her. And I stayed, and I don't remember what we did. I don't know if we went away. I don't know if we just, I don't know. I can't remember. But I know it meant a lot to her. What I'm trying to, what this passage is saying is this. There's opportunity to minister to people. There's opportunity to show the love of Christ to people. There's opportunity. Sometimes the best way that that person can see God and Christ is for us to limit ourselves in ways in which we don't have to, so that they see something extra. Because you know what? If I would have said, Melissa, I'm going to sacrifice and not go, and then she finds out that, well, and there was also something around the house that I really wanted to get done anyway, and that's why you stayed. Well, it wouldn't have meant so much, but when I had the absolute freedom to, and I choose to show it, it means something. So then, preacher, well, then why don't we always do that? Why should you ever go hunting then? Because I could always show her every day. But let's go back to the context here. It wasn't for every day, even for Paul. It was when God brought up the opportunity. And did God bring up the opportunity for me? He did, because he knocked on my doorstep and he said, hey, Sean, I've got a really good way for you to show your wife that you love her. And to Paul, he said, hey, Paul, here's something that you could do, and it's going to be a blessing to these people so that they can see Christ. Paul is making a big statement here, folks. Don't go home thinking that you have to be a monk to please God. Don't go home thinking that you have to say no more hunting ever again so that your wife knows that you love her. Don't think that you have to sacrifice every single time and totally give up, because what will end up is a monk on a flagpole sitting there for the rest of life saying, I'm just going to make myself miserable. God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with somebody that reads this passage, a pastor that reads that passage and says, well, it seems like that's the best thing to do, so I'm not going to take any more pay, and I'm just going to do that. Faith Bible Church, please don't pay me anymore. God's not pleased with that. No, he says, that is not what I want. What God wants is when you're going through life and you're living and you're doing things normal, and then all of a sudden, he presents a situation and you're going and you have opportunities to do certain things, and all of a sudden it comes to your mind, you know, it says, you know what, that person really could receive the truth, and if you would say no to yourself and see the love of Christ because you step out of your way and do something extraordinary that would make an impact on them. And when we do that in that unique situation that God provides, the love of Christ shows. Does that make sense? Opportunities in life to say no to self, that the love of Christ shows through your life. And it pulls these people towards Christ. That's the heart of what Paul is giving here. This is his heart. He's not saying, pastors, reject your pay. He's not saying, husbands, never go out and do anything that you want to do. Stay home with your wife. He's not saying, do all this all the time. What he's saying is when the right circumstance comes up and it's put on your heart. And by the way, when it's that way, it's not a, man, why do I have to do this? Honestly, if that's the case, you might as well go. But when God puts it on your heart, guess what? It's exciting. You know that that day, and again, I love to go out in the tree stand and get in. I love to go out and do that. I love to do it. There's not many things in life that I really enjoy more in the physical world like that. But I couldn't wait that day to get home and tell my wife what I was going to do. Because it was a wonderful opportunity that I didn't have to. Got to. I got to show the love of Christ. Folks, I want to tell you, what's written in this passage here is confronting us not with self-limitation of you do this, you got to do this. It's love. Do you care more about people than you care about yourself? That is tough. That hits us right here, is because you say, wow. But don't let it be some horrible thing. That's not the point. We ought to do it because we care more about, I care more about their relationship with the Lord. If I can do something to help bridge that gap, then I'm going to do it. And I'm absolutely willing to say no to myself because this is what God's called me to do in this circumstance. You know what? Next time, if God doesn't put that on there, do it. And be careful, by the way, because I know I'm preaching to some people that are very conscious of things. Listen, don't think that the next time you got to do it again, and you got to do it, because that's defeating the point, the purpose. The purpose is not that you've got to be, again, say no to flesh. That is wrong theology. God is not calling you to do that. You know, it's the same thing earlier in 1 Corinthians that we talked about. What was Paul's thoughts on marriage? What did he tell the people? I would rather you not, you know, this is my personal opinion. But what was he very careful to say? There's nothing better about this. But if God calls you to it, it will be a blessing. Same thing. If God calls you to this, if he knocks on your door and says, you know what? Yeah, I know you're excited about going to do this, but boy, you could be a blessing. You know, you had money set aside. You've been saving money for, you know, 2 years to do this thing. And then all of a sudden, God gives you an opportunity to reach out to somebody, and you know that it's going to be a blessing to them. And again, I'm not talking about, I guess I'll do it. You know, it's probably not the Lord. But God put something in your heart, and you say, you know what, this person can see the love of Christ. I want to tell you something. You're going to have great joy and following through with that. It's a blessing. It is absolutely a blessing to be able to be a giver and to watch somebody draw closer to the Lord. And that's Paul's heart here. That's really what the passage is trying to get across. Would you be willing to say no to some things that you're completely entitled to in certain circumstances so that somebody can see the love of Christ? Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, would you help us to get the heart of what Paul is trying to get across. What an amazing individual that decided for him at this certain time with the people that he was around that it was going to be an amazing thing for him to say, I'm not going to take anything because I don't want anything to get in the way. I don't want anything to get in the way. I want them to see this love of Christ. I want them to see he cared so much about the gospel. He cared so much about these people. Oh God, would you help us to be people that are minded that way, looking for opportunities, not making it a way of life, but looking for opportunities that we get to limit ourselves for the sake of somebody else so that they can either receive the gospel or to come closer to Jesus Christ. God, thank you so much for this wonderful passage. God, would you help us to be willing to open up our hands and to be used and looking for opportunities that we can to show people that we care. Lord, looking for ways to go over and help somebody with a project when we could be out doing our own projects. God, give us opportunity to help people with a financial situation when we would rather be spending it upon our project. Lord, would you show us? God, I'm asking that you show us what you want us to do. And may we follow you when you speak, that we would follow. God, thank you for your good word tonight. Pray that we would live by it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grab your hymnals tonight. And by the way, I want you to think of practical things, practical ways. Again, I don't think that he's calling you to sell your home and to give it to Goodwill. But maybe there's some decoration that you've been looking to get that maybe you know that somebody else needs something to fix their car. I don't know. Just a dumb example. But just think, ask God. God, would you show me? But remember, here's the key. Please, please don't miss this. You say you're back to preaching again. There's supposed to be an invitation. Pay attention to when God's doing it, not just yourself. If you do it in your own self, it's gonna really mess you up because you're gonna feel obligated you're gonna be driven out of guilt. Guilt is not the way to live. That's why you gotta pay attention to God's call, not your call. Okay, God's call. And God will make that clear what he does. God will make it clear. Follow his clear leading. Clear opportunity. Don't take it upon yourself to be the hero. Paul says, no. No heroes here. Follow God's leading. 390, I surrender all. Would you be